Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. On Sunday, 6 of our youth were confirmed and received the Lord's Supper for the very first time. Confirmation, we know, is not a sacrament, but it is a rite of the church that publicly declares that one is a Christian who has been baptized, confesses the faith, and is in communion with Christ and his church. Or at least they were on the day of their confirmation. Sadly, we know not all who have participated in this rite and made vows before God and the church are Christian today. It is a particular heartbreak for pastors to recall confirmation classes of years past and to think about how many, or how few, of those kids still remain members, not just of this congregation, but of any Lutheran church. Despite how trivial many seem to treat their church membership, God takes it very seriously. Not necessarily your membership in this congregation versus that one, provided that both are faithful in teaching and in practice, but rather your membership in the one holy Christian and apostolic church, the body of Christ. Throughout the scriptures, God makes it quite clear that he knows exactly who is and who is not a Christian, who is a member of his church. A few weeks ago in our gospel lesson, we heard Jesus say, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Likewise, throughout the entire account of the plagues in Egypt during the Exodus, God marked the distinction between his people Israel in Goshen and Pharaoh's people in Egypt, culminating with that first Passover night, as we heard, when the angel of the Lord only passed over those houses that had been marked by the blood of the Lamb and visited the houses that had not been. As worthwhile a rite as confirmation may be, therefore, and it is worth our while, it alone is not the mark of a Christian. One cannot simply fall back on their confirmation once upon a time as proof that they are a member of the church. But our scripture lessons this evening, this Maundy Thursday, give us two clear marks of a Christian, identifying who is indeed a follower, a disciple of Christ. And that is participation in the Lord's Supper and love for other believers. First, the Apostle Paul writes in our epistle this evening, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Communion is confession. In fact, this was the greatest confession that our children made on Sunday morning, even more than their confirmation vows. For again, Paul says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time you stand or kneel before this altar, every time you bow in reverence, every time you open your mouth or stretch forth your hand to receive the bread, every time you take a sip from the cup, every time you bow your head or make the sign of the cross, you are making a confession, a proclamation, an announcement for all who are present to behold. Jesus died for me. He gave his body and shed his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And therefore, to receive the Lord's Supper is to show yourself a Christian. Much like the Israelites of old were known not just by the lamb's blood on their doorposts, but by eating the lamb as the Passover meal. But the Lord's Supper is more than a mere announcement or statement of allegiance. The Apostle Paul writes in the chapter before our epistle this evening, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" The Lord's Supper is not a sign or symbol of Jesus' body and blood given and shed on the cross. It is Jesus' body and blood, given to you in the bread and wine, as the Lord himself declares. And thus it is powerful to forgive your sins and give you life and salvation. Paul said, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup. How often is that? That's a good question, one that has been asked by Lutherans from the very beginning. Our Lutheran confessions teach that the sacrament, at least at the time of the Reformation, was offered every holy day, that is, on Sundays and other festival days, like tonight, and on other days when it is given to all who would ask for it. You may also remember that Martin Luther famously wrote in the preface to the Small Catechism, when someone does not seek or desire the sacrament at least four times a year, it is to be feared that he despises the sacrament and is not a Christian, just as a person is not a Christian who does not believe or hear the gospel. And so we might say that one who never comes to the Lord's table to receive the supper hardly shows himself to be a Christian. That is clear. But we Christians shouldn't fall into the trap of thinking of communion frequency as some kind of legal demand. For the Christian, the Lord's Supper is the exact opposite of the law. It is pure grace, pure gospel, salvation, peace, blessedness, forgiveness. Yes, those who eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner are guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. It is not as though there is no law associated with the sacrament. But for the Christian who believes the word of the Lord, for the Christian who believes the promises that are attached to this sacrament, the Lord's Supper brings and gives to us poor sinners who confess our guilt exactly the thing we want above all, forgiveness from God himself. And see how deeply Christ, our Lord, wills to give this gift to his church. The sacrament, as we hear every morning, was instituted on the night of his betrayal. The apostle and evangelist John tells us that even at the supper, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. As we'll hear tomorrow, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would be in great distress and agony, telling his disciples that his soul was very sorrowful, even to death. Jesus would pray so earnestly, moments after this Last Supper, that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And yet, even in that agony and sorrow, even in that anguish, Jesus loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. At that supper, he gave no thought to himself. He didn't worry about what would come upon him tomorrow. Instead, he loved his disciples. He served them by washing their feet. And he gave them his very body to eat and his very blood to drink, not for his own sake, but for theirs, for the forgiveness of their sins. What wondrous love! God's only Son is about to die. And in death, he is about to bear every single sin of every single human being ever to live. Jesus is about to be scourged and abused by man and cursed and forsaken by God the Father. And he knows it. Jesus knows all that he is about to endure. And yet in that hour, he wills to give his own disciples that same body that will be broken, that same blood that will be shed, to save them. And this he gives to you here and now. What Christian would dismiss or deny the blessed gift we have from our gracious and merciful Lord? What wondrous love indeed. And this we hear tonight is the second mark of a Christian. Love. After his great act of love, washing the feet of his disciples, serving them, though he is their master, Jesus tells the disciples that they also should do just as he had done to them. This is his new commandment: love one another just as he has loved you. By this, he says, all people will know that you are his disciples if you have love for one another. As Christians, therefore, we are marked by our love for each other, our brothers and sisters in the faith, and especially those who are seated here with you tonight, who are gathered with you in this house of God, to kneel at this same altar, to receive that same body and blood of Jesus. Jesus said that all people will know that we are his disciples by our love for each other. Do visitors to our congregation know that we are Christians by seeing our love for each other? When they come here, do they see our humility? Do they see us serving each other? Remember the Corinthian Christians to whom Paul wrote long ago. They gathered together as a church, but when they came together, Paul said, it was not to eat and drink the Lord's Supper, for they gathered together in selfishness and in greed, not in love. But Paul wrote to them that because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The Lord's Supper is a true communion, not only between Christ and the Christian, but between the Christian and his brother. There is no room for selfishness or greed at the Lord's table. Instead, there is true fellowship. The Passover lamb, as we heard, was not to be eaten individually, but in households, even in neighborhoods. The Lord's Supper is likewise to be shared by Christians. And that's why to eat and drink at this altar is not only a confession of your personal or individual faith in Jesus, but a confession of your agreement with your brothers and sisters here, your agreement with the doctrine of this congregation, these people. And that's also why forgiveness, mutual forgiveness between Christians, is part and parcel of the sacrament. Remember Jesus' own words in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. On this night, as we begin the holy 3 days, remembering our Lord's passion, let us begin by thinking of our fellow Christians, our love for each other. Indeed, especially those who are part of this fellowship at Our Savior Lutheran Church. Have you set aside thoughts of yourself and your needs and wants for the sake of your fellow members' needs in this place? Have you been willing to use your time and money not for your own sake and pleasure, but to help your fellow Christian? Have you been quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? Have you been ready to forgive when you've been sinned against? Have you been ready to apologize when you've sinned? To do all this is nothing more than the Christian life. Remember that God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it, as the Catechism teaches. This is a tall order, to put it mildly. And remember also that the Catechism immediately at that point interjects a prayer, acknowledging the difficulty of it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. We cannot do it on our own. Yes, help us. Help us to think of others before ourselves. Help us to sacrifice what is ours in order to help other people. Help us to listen. Help us to forgive. Help us to confess. But your Father in heaven has answered that prayer. He has sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, die, and rise again for you. He has borne all your sins and carried all your sorrows. And you have been baptized into his death and resurrection. You have been united with him. You now abide in his word. You commune on his body and blood. And he has given you an example of love that you should do also as he has done to you. Therefore, your Father has helped you, for the love with which you love your fellow Christian has been poured into your hearts by God, who has first loved you and gave his only begotten Son for you. By this, all people will know that you are Jesus' disciples, by proclaiming the Lord's death in your eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper, and by loving one another. May God the Father strengthen and preserve us to do just that, to love our neighbor and to hold fast to his blessed word all the days of our earthly lives until he calls us home to feast at the marriage feast of the Lamb once slain, which has no end. Amen.